This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Bad Girl's Guide to Living Well with Heather Dowen, NMD. Spend time with Dr. Heather and her guests for tales of love, adventure, and how to be healthy and happy. Now, here's your host, Dr. Heather Dowen.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bad Girl's Guide to Living Well. This is Dr. Heather Dowen, and I'm doing something a little bit different today, where Cameron Steele, the owner of this network, is going to be interviewing me so you can get a better idea of who I am and what I do and, I guess, why. So welcome to the show, and I'm ready for the best you got, Cameron.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Heather. It's very nice to sit here with you and interview you and talk to you about what you do and how you do things. And, you know, I'm always fascinated by people when they take on this kind of genre in their life, like, you know, become a naturopathic physician. So I kind of want to start there with you as what made you decide to go the natural way as opposed to, you know, the normal way? Not for a better word, I guess, but what most people do is they would, you know what I mean? There's not a lot of people that make choices to be a naturopathic physician. And I, first of all, applaud you for stepping up and doing that. And is there something about that you just said, you know what, I'm going to do this instead?
Well, I'm a bit of a masochist, and I like to do things as difficult as possible, I guess. But really what happened was I almost lost my leg in a car accident my senior year at Cornell. I was a pre-med major, and I had shifted a little bit into doing research on Amazonian plants and the healing properties that they have. And I was supposed to go at that point into more of a pharmaceutical research base. So I was in a really bad car accident. I almost lost my leg. I missed the chance to go to the Amazon and do that research, but the chance that I got was I was told that I probably wouldn't keep my leg. They didn't know how many surgeries that I would need in order to even keep it, bone grafts, et cetera. And they told me that I certainly wouldn't ever run downhill ski or backpack again. And that was really very difficult to hear when you're 21 years old.
Yeah.
And it absolutely changed the trajectory of my life. So I had an absolutely fantastic physician that was doing cutting edge therapies at the time where he put an external fixator into my leg. And I was just expected.
What's an external fixator?
So they take four, probably 6 to 8 inch long titanium screws, and they screw them above and below the brake. What happened was I had 3 inches of my shin bone just annihilated. And so they screwed it together from the outside, like a halo that people you see with like people like neck injuries, but it was in my lower leg.
Okay.
And it was really cutting edge at the time that it happened, and no one else was doing it in the area. He was at Cortland Hospital at the time, which is the middle of nowhere, basically. He was a great doctor, Dr. Jack Sproul. I sent him Christmas cards, and I love the man dearly because he really saved my leg. But he, after saving me and it, there was really no direction and no fault of his own. I love the man. On how to heal it best.
Right.
And actually, I had a very visionary grandmother who read Adele Davis in the 50s, and she cured herself of some crazy allergies back then with vitamins. And she took up the torch to take care of me because I was bedridden for 3 months. And she fed me like just functional foods and vitamins like you wouldn't believe. I ended up healing my leg 3 times faster than expected. And I did a Grand Canyon trip to Havasupai Falls as my comeback tour, and hiked there and back. So I can backpack, I can run, and I met my husband skiing. And so I don't have any functional deficits in my leg. I And it's a really amazing story. And it happened because I was able to integrate the best of conventional medicine and alternative medicine. But it's still at that point, I was, after I graduated from school and I got back to the place where I could walk again, I ended up doing research for a famous intellectual in Florida. Mm-hmm. And she could only write in the most beautiful parts of the world. And I was her personal assistant. And so I got to travel with her. And at one point, I was eating a fruit plate in Greece. And I thought to myself, God, the food here tastes like it did when I was little. Like, I remember actually having fruit that tasted ripe and good and had good texture. And I was only 20, you know, two at the time. And so I thought to myself, you know what, if I was a doctor, I would do something about this. And I just got hit by a bolt of lightning saying, well, I guess that's what I'm supposed to do with my life. And I was like, damn it. Now I have to go back to school. But, I guess that's how I got here. And because conventional physicians don't get any nutritional information for the most part. I mean, they don't know how to use, natural things optimally in order to help people heal. And yet they're highly, highly effective methods. Mm. And so I looked around for alternative medical schools and that's how it went.
Wow. Interesting. You know, it's funny that you brought up how it used to taste.
Right.
Because I was thinking about that myself the other day. I was cooking a steak I got a natural steak, like it was all natural, no chemicals added. And I was like, now this is what it's supposed to taste like.
Right.
You know, it's amazing the difference in flavor. I mean, whether you're a vegetarian or a meat eater, there is a huge difference between natural organic and, you know, chemical fed cows and chemical fed vegetables. There's just such a big difference. So it just reminded me of that, of what you said and how I really enjoyed that particular meal because of how it tasted. As I remember tasting certain things as a kid and going, God, I miss that taste. You know?
No, I mean, think about it. How many good peaches do you have a year?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, this is true. I mean, really, I mean,
it's true.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is that when things are ripe and when they taste good, they're also the most nutritious. Like they have the most vitamins and they have the most benefit for your body.
I'm an avocado freakazoid. I buy like bunches of avocados and I'll have two or three a day. I have to have avocados and, I'll mix it in with something or I'll just eat it with a spoon and put a little salt and eat it with a spoon right out of the skin, you know.
I like mine with lemon too.
Oh, lemon. Oh, lemon. I think I've tried that once, but I think I liked it too. But anyways, I digress. But I can tell you I've bought some avocados that aren't organic and I've bought some that have, that are organic. And what a difference in color and flavor.
Well, it's really interesting because avocados are on the list of the Clean 15 by the Environmental Working Group, which is a group that looks at pesticide levels in fruits and vegetables so that you don't necessarily have to buy everything organic because it can be a significant expense. Mm-hmm. But I think it's 100% worth it. And while avocados, because they have a thick skin, aren't on the organic list or on the Dirty Dozen, they're on the Clean 15.
Oh, interesting.
It's interesting because my mother was a science teacher, an elementary school science teacher, and so I like to do, you know, experiments mess around. So we try
to. The path was laid down for you already, right?
It definitely was. So, you know, organic gardening, elementary school teacher, and here I am. Yeah. And so my husband and I like to sprout the avocado pits because we have a young son who, you know, thinks that that's magic, right? Now, we don't always buy organics or always buy organic avocados, but what we have noticed is that the pits don't always sprout. The organic pits almost 100% of the time sprout.
And can you eat the sprout?
You can. Yeah, you can eat it, but we just do it because, you know, we want to be our avocado farmers sometime in the future.
Yeah.
And it's neat to watch, but the conventional ones only sprout about 25% of the time.
Really?
So even though they may taste, you know, similar, during the season, they're dead inside.
Yeah. Wow.
So you have to go ahead.
Just curious. How do you sprout the pit? Do you just put it in water for a little while or do you plant
it? No, we put toothpicks, like, little three or four toothpicks into the pit.
Okay.
You put little, like, the pointy part points up.
Yep.
And then you sit it in water. So it's about halfway into the water and you'll see it'll crack open and it'll throw down a big, strong root. I mean, wow. Seeds are amazing because it's like all of the power a plant needs to be
born. How do you get the toothpick in? Because that's a pretty hard, they're pretty hard. You put it through the top?
You don't have to put it too deep.
Okay.
I mean, you only have to put it a few millimeters in to hold it.
Well, I'm going to give that a try.
Yeah, do it. It's fun.
I'm going to try it out. Yeah. So I would like to also, now I'd like to kind of move on because, you know, we're talking about avocados and, you know, it's funny. My mom had come over a couple of weeks back, from one of my son's birthdays. And, it was interesting because she stopped at the store. Now I don't talk to my mom on a regular basis about what I'm eating or anything like that. I mean, you know, but what's interesting is when she, I guess I've been wanting to eat avocados for the past few months. Well, she has been drawn to eating avocados for the past few months, and we didn't talk to each other about that because she stopped at the store. She says, oh, I just have to stop and get some avocados on my way. And my wife and I are both like, avocados, really? You're wanting to eat avocados? She says, I can't explain it. I just want avocados. So that was kind of how I was as well. And I mean, I haven't eaten as many as I had been in the past, but for some reason I felt like I needed them internally, and I don't know why. So perhaps we could start with, was I unconsciously looking for a preventative treatment that I needed from the properties of what avocados offer?
Possibly. I mean, I do think that a lot of our food cravings and our food drives mm-hmm. are, you know, basic biology. I mean, animals know what to eat when they don't feel well.
Yeah.
And I think that there is some element to us where avocados have, you know, great healthy fats in them that, and, you know, other nutrients and bioflavonoids that are good for the body. Mm-hmm. It's also, you know, a pretty good avocado season you know, at this point. And so we're just starting to see the good ones come in mm-hmm. and you just may be seasonally in sync with that. But yeah. I think everybody needs more healthy fats.
Yeah. Well, and that may be the case because – maybe it was specifically about the healthy fats because, I had just gone through a surgery, for a hernia, umbilical hernia necrosis, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had just come out of a surgery for that. And, you know, I've been feeling like I've been needing to switch my eating habits up a bit. But you know, in the morning I'll have eggs and sweet potatoes. I'll have maybe, you know, a piece of bacon. I don't eat as much as I was once. I'm not, you know, I'm really shifting my diet and it's really working well. So I kind of want to start with that. So, you know, I have to ask myself, how did I know what to do? And I really didn't. I just thought about it. I thought, well, maybe I'll just start with this and do it this way. But how do you know which preventative treatments would be most benefited for your lifestyle? Like, I mean, for me right now, I'm taking food. So that's kind of my own preventative treatment on whatever I've got going on in my body. But as a naturopathic doctor, how do you know what to treat people with, for their lifestyle? How do you move into that direction with people? What a good segue, right?
Yeah, nicely done. So it's interesting because we spend a lot more time as far as the difference between conventional doctors and naturopathic doctors is because mm-hmm. we are largely in some states cover us with insurance, but most don't. And so we are cash based practices, which means that we are able to have private practice and we can sit down with patients and actually talk to them for longer than 15 minutes. Mm. And in that interview, we learn a lot of stuff. For example, if you like people that crave sweets at night, especially, you know, chocolate sorts of things, just as an example. If you eat sweets at night, and you crave them, it can be in an effort to push your serotonin and your melatonin pathways in your brain. Chocolate also has a high amount of magnesium compared to other foods, especially dark food, dark chocolate in the American diet. And so if you crave those sorts of things and you have trouble sleeping, that tells me a bit about your neurotransmitter levels and your even, you know, possibly your magnesium levels. Because even though chocolate is delicious, if you have these cravings where if you're trying to lose weight and you still just feel like you have to, you know, eat something, there's an underlying process in that that tells us a lot. So we do a lot of interview, but I also do very specialized testing. And as far as figuring out the best preventative methods, I have a favorite test that I think everybody basically on the planet should do. And it's called the Nutrition Genome. I'll put a link up if you'd like so that people can find it. And you do a cheek swab to figure out your some of your health-related genetic SNPs mm-hmm. in your body. And then the workup mm-hmm. will give you specific foods and specific nutrients that you can take to make your body stronger and your DNA even work better. And so that's my absolute favorite. And so if you're just like looking for general health, that's one of my – it gave me more information than most of the other tests that I've done in my life. And I've done a lot, considering that when you go into healthcare, often you become a bit of a hypochondriac, and you're like, oh, my God, that's definitely wrong with me. And so this one gave me so much information. I absolutely love it. And so we do specialized testing that you wouldn't necessarily get at a conventional office. I mean, someday medicine is moving more towards personalized medicine. It doesn't get more personalized than looking at your genome.
Right.
And so that's a really cool thing that I do. But we also look at, you know, the microbiome. UC Davis mm-hmm. just did a study of about 100 years of baby poop study. And isn't that funny? and they found that there's been a significant change in the pH of baby poop over the last 100 years.
Now, how old are the babies that they're testing? I'm curious.
I think they're fairly young, like neonates under a year.
Wow.
So they were under a year, and they did 100 years of it, and they looked at the pH, which is associated with the microbiome mm-hmm. and what kind of good bacteria are in the gut. And so they saw that, you know, over the last 100 years, we've had a significant shift away from healthy flora, which they even said is associated with autoimmune spikes, and how many more people have autoimmune diseases now than they did even 20 years ago, as well as allergies like asthma and eczema and those sorts of things. And so as far as like preventative stuff, we do a lot of testing, but we also do some pretty in-depth interviews as far as how people are living and what their specific issues are.
Interesting. Well, you know, it's very interesting because when you're talking about baby poop, just baby poop alone, I'm thinking to myself, they're so fresh in the world. And yet we're still finding, and I guess because obviously it's been passed on from the parents, you know. But,
well, that's interesting. It brings up because one of the big shifts is elective cesarean sections. And so when a baby's born naturally, they get flora from their mother. And yet, you know, I'm not saying anything bad about C-sections. I had to have a C-section or else, you know, my son and I wouldn't have lived. And so, but I gave him probiotics from the time that he was, you know, out of the hospital because right. studies have shown that babies born cesarean section, because they don't get that good bacteria from their mother, are much more likely to have autoimmune diseases and allergies. And so, yeah, they're brand new. But we're even seeing crazy stuff like air pollution is shortening the telomeres on DNA and aging babies before they're even born.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
That's just crazy, right?
It's insanity.
Oh, I can't even imagine like that. That's just,
yeah.
You know, I was named Iron Gut for the longest time because I could eat almost anything and everything would be fine, but not so much anymore. I find myself changing and maybe it's because I'm, you know, yeah, okay, I'm 56, but I'm still young. I'm not like a, you know, I'm not over the hill here, you know, but I do find that there are some foods that I just can't eat anymore, not because of anything else except the fact that they're not the same foods that we ate, you know, 20 years ago.
Well, Well, isn't that interesting? And I'm so glad we're talking about poop because it's definitely my favorite topic. And, you know, like naturopath, well, no, definitely not. But yeah. It's funny because if you, you know, they used to say you are what you eat, but not really. You are what you absorb. Yeah. And by, like, naturopaths actually believe that the first step to health is making sure that the gut is healthy. And gut health is so complicated because, you know, you wonder, like, why I ate, people ask me all the time, why I ate this for years? Why is it all of a sudden bothering me? It's a complicated issue, but it really, I think, can come down to, I live in California, and the state of California was going to label glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup under our Prop 65, which is when we're told, you know, all over the state, we have signs that say chemicals in this establishment are known to cause cancer and or, you know, birth defects or reproductive harm, et cetera. So we get those labels. And I think we're the only state that does that. And so because the World Health Organization labeled glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, as a probable human carcinogen, means it probably causes cancer in humans, we were going to be able to label it by the end of July this year. Monsanto had a federal court stop that, and so we are no longer going to be able to do that. And I'm coming around to my point, which is it's been proven that glyphosate, which is everywhere, it's used on, you know, Roundup Ready corn, GMO corn, and GMO soy have been engineered to be able to be sprayed all over with Roundup and not die like the rest of the weeds to increase crop yields, right?
Yes.
But glyphosate is also a pesticide in the gut, and so it kills off your good bacteria, which makes it more likely for you to get infections like C. diff and salmonella, but it also causes inflammation in the gut lining that can lead to leaky gut and have foods, you know, you can react to foods and have a decrease in your gut health by the simple fact that you have no control over the fact that you're eating something that A, can cause cancer, and B, kills off the healthy flora in your gut.
Well, you know, I think of this, and, you know, this goes back to me because when I did have my operation less than a month ago, you know, you're in the shower, you're cleaning yourself, and you feel like you're getting clean, and, you know, you don't think about what's going on the inside of your body, but yet you feel healthy, you feel like you're really good, but it boggles the mind to me that, you know, we could eat something that we buy off a grocery store shelf, and it's something that could really do us a lot of harm. With all the stuff that's in there, but yet, you know, we'll do it anyways because we got to eat. We got to nourish our body somehow. But I guess my question is really, how much time does it take for the body to absorb this, and for the human body to go, oh yeah, you can't eat that anymore. This is your body's reacting to this now. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
If I eat an avocado every day,
right?
When am I going to see results of having that avocado every day? If I eat a chocolate bar every day, how long is it going to be before my body says, "Oh, you know, what are you doing?"
Well, I think that it's probably a lot more complex than being able to give a specific amount of time.
Yeah.
My husband and I talk about this a lot because we both work in the same area of, you know, naturopathic medicine. Okay. And we were talking about how one meal at McDonald's, in our opinion, can cause a significant health impact that then you have to build back from.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't necessarily mean just them. I mean, any sort of processed food that puts toxicity into your environment, you have to metabolize and heal from.
Well,
one of our mentors used to say, Dr. Bill Mitchell, he used to say that we are biologically responsible for every single molecule we encounter. And so your liver has to metabolize it. Some of the stuff gets stuck in your bones and your fat and your nerve sheaths and can cause problems. And it's a complicated answer because it depends on your genetics, your environment, your inflammation, your stress levels.
Yeah. Yeah. No, well, you know, I was diagnosed with diabetes type 2 a couple of years ago. And I feel like I've got it under control now, and I'm doing pretty good with it. I know my A1C recently was a little higher than I thought it was going to be, but again, that's come back to me and what I've been doing. And I know, you know, we know what we do to ourselves. You know, I could say, if somebody says to me, well, why do you think your A1C was that high? I know exactly why it was that high, because I hadn't exercised. I've been eating a lot of breads. I've been eating a lot of cheese. I've been eating this and that,
right,
and everything. And so I know that's why. And so I'm almost going to answer my own question. If you're diabetes type 2, give yourself 3 months of eating healthy after you get your A1C, and then give yourself 3 months of eating healthy, and then go back and do that A1C test again. And if your blood sugar isn't low, then there's something else going on besides what you're just eating.
Right.
Because the A1C tells everything. You know, I start off with a 6.5, and then I recently went back to the doctors, and he said, you're in no man's land, is what he said. He calls it no man's land, 9.6.
Oh my goodness.
But he says, you are much better than when I first saw you, because when I first saw you, you were at 11.5, was my A1C, and I brought that down to a 6.5. But then I was kind of lackadaisical. We get lazy, and all of a sudden I'm eating cheese, I'm eating bread, I'm eating potatoes and French fries and all the other stuff that I know I'm eating in excess of. You know, nothing wrong with eating a little bit of those, but everything in moderation, I say. And then my blood sugar was back up to 9.6. So I was like, okay, now I know, you know, I know what I got to do. So I told him, I said, I know what I got to do, and I'll do it. He said, come back and see me in another month, and we'll take another A1C. And I got to go back and see him in the next couple of weeks, because that's what I got to do. So, you know, I know what I've been doing. And so we recognize, as I think as human beings, we recognize, but there's always the emotional part to it. There's an emotional thing. There's stress. We stress eat. We do things to make ourselves feel better. And, you know, so my question is, when someone's coming to you, what kind of solutions do you offer for people that perhaps say they're not eating correctly. They know they're not eating correctly, but they say, I just can't help myself. I'm going through a lot of stress. Whether it's money or relationships or anything, it's not going to stop just overnight. You're going to have to deal with it. You have to deal with it on a constant basis. So what kind of solutions as a naturopathic doctor do you offer people to help them deal with that department of things? Because, you know, to me, a naturopathic is all about all encompassing, whether it's emotional, mental, physical, or what you're putting in your body.
Right. But we also treat the cause.
Right.
I mean, that's one of the big things, is that we try to find out what the cause is and support it. And I mean, high stress levels can raise your blood sugars. It's a fact. And so managing stress is supremely important. And we have implementation that we do right off as far as supporting people and finding services to help manage their stress. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't all just, you know, move to Bali and surf for the rest of our lives.
Right.
And so, or we can't just, you know, quit our job because our boss is a maniac, you know, like, and hope that someone else is going to pay our mortgage.
Right.
So we have to figure out, one, how to address the stress at the base of it. So stress resilience is one of the cornerstones of health. You have to figure out how to manage your stress. Meditation is a huge one. Mm-hmm. And there's tons and tons and tons of references for, you know, free meditations that you can do. There's books about it, and just supporting people in creating the healthy habits and the patterns and helping educate them about what their options are for that. Getting them into an exercise program, which is probably the other thing that can help manage stress.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, exercise, meditation, sometimes people aren't ready, or they don't have the internal motivation to do that with regularity. And so in that case, we give them supplementation to help protect their body from their bad habits. Because, you know, people, you're right, they know for the most part that they're not necessarily eating healthily. Like more complex cases, that's not necessarily true all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, basic
in general,
cardiovascular disease and diabetes, and I mean, like those diseases of lifestyle respond great to lifestyle if you do it.
Yeah.
But there are natural ways to, you know, bring those, you know, so just to protect the body from the negative effects of stress until you can get it under control in other areas.
Right. I want to remind people that your website is naturopathicmd.com, correct?
Yes.
And if they go to the website, they can find out all kinds of information about you and about what packages you offer. And so I recommend going to the website. Now, you mentioned supplements, and that, again, is naturopathicmd.com, which is a great website name, by the way. I love that. I've said that to you before, but, yeah. So you mentioned supplements. Which supplements do you recommend? Because here's the thing. Now, you mentioned earlier as well that, you know, not everything is covered under medical, and some people are, some people aren't.
Very little is, right?
You know, exactly. So, you know, and natural medicine can be pricey for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I go to a local store here called Super Sups. One of the things that I take on a constant basis, I use cannabis oil. I take cannabis oil as a spray. I do that all the time. It's great. I love it. I take a brain spray, a sleep spray, or something else. I also use, with the kids and the whole family uses, that we use P73 oil of oregano.
Mm-hmm.
We put it on the kids' feet when they're sick, or my wife will sometimes, you know, she'll put it up her nose, and I'll, you know, maybe once in a while I'll put it on my toothbrush. I use actually charcoal to brush my teeth, just charcoal toothpaste. It's natural charcoal toothpaste. It's really cool. And these things are, you know, like the oil of oregano for a little bottle is like $65. And it lasts maybe about a month in our household. And we're like, okay, we got to go buy another bottle now, you know? So these things can be pricey. So what supplements do you recommend for daily use if you are on a strict budget?
Well, I wish that I could show you a picture of the supplements that I take, which is really pretty funny considering that, you know, like, as far as optimizing, you know, I turned 40, and since then I've been like, okay, all bets are off. Here we go, Fuli. You know, we're on our way to really supplementing aggressively to protect my body and slow aging and, you know, et cetera. And people ask me this all the time. I teach pharmacology and, you know, pathology and anatomy and physiology. And I see students who are in conventional medicine when I teach these, and I talk a lot about supplements and the way the physiological effects that they have in the body. And so they always ask me, like, what would you take? What would you take? Should I take this? What would you take? And it really all comes down to the basics as far as what every single person on the planet needs. Unless you're living off of an organic farm in like a pristine country, which I don't even know where that would be anymore.
Yeah.
And eating everything that you grow. So number one, and I guess, no, I can't number them as far as preference, but I have to say that I watched a video yesterday about brain health.
Yeah.
And how as humans evolved, they evolved along lakes and the ocean because that's the best source of essential fatty acids and omega-3s, because we have a very, very, very large and active brain that is built out of fat. And our diets are very low in those healthy essential fats. And so fish oils are the best way to get them. However, the sea is super, super toxic. And with, you know, the inflammation that we have in our environment and the toxicity, it is something that you want to spend the money on a good, high quality, potent fish oil. My favorite is Quell by Douglas Labs, because in the doses that you have to take, I worked with professional football players for a long time. Okay. And when we were dealing with their aches and their pains from having this, obviously, you think about who's under the most physical stress on the planet, might be those guys, right?
Right, right,
and
right.
And so they have like knee pain and back pain and neck pain and head injuries, right? And I would tell them to take, you know, fish oil until their pain went away.
Right.
And they would be like, you're crazy. And I mean, really, it was like dosing them like large animals, right? Wow. Like a zoo animal. But I mean, it hit a point where it has a very highly anti-inflammatory effect and is very beneficial. You need those healthy fats for every single cell in your body. And that was back when I was younger, and I think I would have a little bit more of an elegant approach with it now, but it was easy for them to do and it worked quite well. And so the Quell has a really high dose, very clean, best absorbable form, and it also, you can get forms of it with vitamin D. So that, which is another huge lack that we have, because Vitamin D is a pro-hormone. It helps regulate what's being expressed by your DNA. Mm-hmm. It's good for your immune system. It's good for your brain. And we can't make it.
No.
We really can't make it from the sun. One, because most of us have to wear sunscreen, right?
Yep, yep.
And that stops your ability. But in order to really make vitamin D well, you have to be outside, half naked, sweating for a good, 4 to 8 hours, and then not shower for 24 hours after.
Right.
Just because of the way that it has to come up to the surface of the skin and then be reabsorbed. And so that's why we see so many people with deficient vitamin D. So,
well, especially up here on the West Coast, the vitamin D,
I mean,
we just have rain and clouds and maybe 2 months, 3 months and maybe of sunshine where it's really sunny, but the clouds cover it. And even in the summertime. And so, I'm a big proponent of taking vitamin D. The horse pills are huge. they're big.
Oh,
pills,
I have it in drops.
Oh, do you? Okay,
yeah,
okay.
So you just take now, it much smaller doses.
Can everybody get this off your website, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, so if you go to Naturopathic MD.
And then there's a section as far as where you can order like healthy. It's under the menu. As far as like,
Wellness shop order supplements.
Yep, it's right there.
You've got a plethora of stuff that you've got information on. You've got vitamins and minerals, nutritional supplements, homeopathy, herbs, personal care and lifestyle, and you've even got animal health, which is something that we haven't even talked about. But
no,
animal health is a big thing.
I'll tell you, I have two boxers. And they are very well known for having skin issues, joint issues, and autoimmune diseases. Mm-hmm. And as they're getting older, their health has started to decline. Mm-hmm. And we've started feeding them. We go to Trader Joe's and we buy sardines. We buy the cans of sardines. And that's what we feed them instead of their canned food.
And they are
acting like they're two or three years younger. Like their joint pain is better. It's amazing. Everybody's deficient in these things.
Interesting.
And so the other, I guess, if I have two, well, if I have, can I have three more?
Three more.
Can I have three more supplements? Vitamin C is huge.
Yeah, you can have as many supplements as you want.
If you stress an animal, mm-hmm. because most animals besides us and guinea pigs can make their own vitamin C, and they've done lab tests. Those crazy guys in the labs that want to figure out biochemical pathways, et cetera. If they stress animals, their production of vitamin C will skyrocket.
Oh.
And so vitamin C is so good for the immune system. It's good for all of your collagen and your bone health. It's an antioxidant that recycles other antioxidants. It's good for allergies. It's fantastic. Mm. It's anti-aging and anti-cancer and, it's great. And so that's definitely something that I also would recommend. Mm. Minerals would be the next.
Mm-hmm.
And good mineral sources, not just like calcium and magnesium, but like the, vanadium and chromium and molybdenum and magnesium is a huge one. And our American diet is very deficient in good minerals because of our soil, and we're not putting minerals back in the soil.
Right.
And so then the last one would be good, high quality, activated B complex and Bs.
Really?
Because they're chewed through for stress. They're needed for the liver to detoxify, and they help. They do a lot of different things. They help with energy, but then they also help with creating and building your neurotransmitters.
Wow. Fascinating. Our pet, our dog, we have a Weimaraner lab mix. And she's a beautiful girl. She's got the lovely coat, and she's got a really pretty face. And, we've just noticed, my wife has just noticed that maybe her hips, there's something going on with around her hips. And we have a sweater for her that we put on because she can get stressed out. Normally she gets, they're an anxiety type of dog.
Yeah.
And so we got this sweater that we put on for her, and she seems to really enjoy it. She feels comforted by it. But, this whole thing with the sardines is fascinating to me because, I feel like, you know, that's a great way to go. We buy our food from a place called Mud Bay. It's local, it's natural, and it's a very popular natural dog food place. But I might try that whole sardine thing, because those sardines at Trader Joe's are really yummy.
And they're cheap for the most part. They're really like a can of, I mean, cause we were feeding them grain free because one of them has Boxer's colitis, which isn't like Boxer Crohn's disease.
Right.
And so we've managed that 100% through diet.
Wow.
And by taking out the grains. And so they eat really fancy dog food, and yet they were still having a deficiency in their omegas. Even though it was added, they weren't getting enough.
Well,
so we
go ahead.
Oh, we also add turmeric.
Turmeric, eh?
That would be the last one.
You know, if I wasn't mistaken, I could say we're talking about what people need to take here too.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, they don't do animal testing for no reason. I mean, we all work with the same systems.
We
give them turmeric, we give them essential fats, we give them minerals as well. And people always ask us how, you know, they're so beautiful because their coats are good, they've got tons of energy, and it's just because of what we fed them.
Well, you know, I freaked my kids out the other day because it was, I don't know how long ago it was. My wife bugs me about this because I always say the other day, and it was like 2 months ago. It was like, no, it was 3 months ago. Sorry. So I'll just say the other day or whatever. And, you know, I said to the kids, I said, I wonder how this dog food tastes, because I mean, it's all natural, and look at the ingredients. There's nothing in here that we couldn't put in our own body. And I said, I'm going to try one. My teenager, no, Dad, don't do it. I said, I'm going to eat one of these dog biscuits. I'm going to do it right now. And so I took the dog biscuit out of the package and I dipped it in a little dip, and I said, oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And the dog's looking at me like, you know, that's mine. That's mine. But, you know, my point being is that I wanted to prove to the kids that, you know, what we feed our dogs, we can eat, we should be able to eat ourselves.
Right.
At the end of the day, because, you know, the dog, I mean, yeah, we, and then my son says, well, yeah, but Dad, you're not going to eat a plastic bag like Stella did. And I went, well, no.
Details,
I said, our digestive systems are significantly different. Yes. My dog ate a...
And our food cravings.
Oh, yeah. My dog ate this plastic, this tin, you know, the Cheetos bags, you know, those little Cheetos bags. I guess she found one and she just munched it right up. And I was just we were so concerned because we thought, oh my God, what if it's, you know, not going to come out? And sure enough, I mean, it came out whole. I mean, there was nothing. If you washed it, you'd have a fresh, clean Cheetos bag that didn't have any chew marks in it, you know? She just swallowed the damn thing. But, you know, I digress again, but, you know, the kid, just showing them, like, you know, we should be able to eat anything the dog eats, we should be able to eat ourselves. So I said, the lesson here is, you know, what we put in our bodies, we should be able to feed our dogs as well. And, you know, there are certain foods, of course, you can't feed a dog, like grapes and stuff like that.
Right.
But, you know, along the lines of what dogs eat, we should be able to eat what they eat. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we want our dogs to be healthy, and we don't want to put chemicals in our dogs. And you know, their systems are still just as fragile as ours. We may not see that, and a dog isn't going to go, oh, I got a stomach ache today, I shouldn't run. A dog's going to run whether their hips hurt or not.
Which is a good lesson for all of us.
Right.
Because if you think about how many people you see at a dog park who are sitting down, and we know that exercise is important for dogs, for their health, for their anxiety, for everything.
That's a whole other show, Doc. I tell you right there, I will talk to the ends of the earth going to the dog park and seeing all these people on their cell phones and, oh, your dog just pooped over in the corner. Oh, he did? I didn't see. Yeah, because you're too busy on your phone. The dog park is supposed to be for exercise for the dog and yourself. Yeah, come on.
Oh, no,
I know. It's just, it drives me nuts when I go to the dog park. Yeah. It is my pet peeve when I go to the dog park. I'm kind of known as the poop watcher because I'm always telling people to pick up their dog's poop or, I'll go around when I'm
talking about poop.
And I'm walking around the dog park and I've got 20 bags of poop on me because I'm picking everybody else's poop up, you know? So anyways.
I think it's interesting. I had a friend from France who moved here I don't know, probably 20 years ago now, but she said, I don't understand what it means when signs say this is made with real fruit. She's like, what else would it be made with? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's, that's kind of funny, isn't it, really?
When right? And if, I mean, you can't, yeah.
Made with real fruit.
If you don't know what it is, why would you feed it to anybody that you love?
Yeah, yeah. You know, we love shopping. We have two shops that we do. We shop at QFC for certain things, but for the most part, we do a lot of shopping at Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's seems to be our staple, and along with QFC. But you know, it comes down to choice. And I think at the end of the day, does it frustrate you, as a doctor? You must get frustrated at times when the same person comes back to see you and they're not listening to anything you're telling them yet they're doing the same thing over and over again. How do you handle people like that?
Well, if a person isn't motivated to make any changes, a lot of times people really identify with their disease, and that comes down to something that's a lot more complex. And if they want to come in and work on that, mm-hmm. or I, you know, often send them to counselors, but you know, I had a woman this last fall that said, I am no better than when I started. And I asked her, well, did you do, well, basically in a nice diplomatic way, mm-hmm. even though I said, did you do anything that I asked you to do? No. Mm-hmm. Well, at that point, it's like, I don't know exactly how to help with that. And so, you know, we try to really get down to the basis. Mm-hmm. And that she's fairly rare, because people, mm-hmm. if they're going to pay money out of pocket to go and see an expert about something and their health is affecting their life negatively, yeah. they are fairly motivated, but some people aren't. Yeah. But if you, like, it can be very, very complex. A lot of people, for example, eat for emotional reasons. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I work with people quite closely, whether they're health coaches or counselors, to help do a supportive element of, like, what is this person missing so that mm-hmm. they're having these cravings, these uncontrollable behaviors.
Right.
I'm also trained as a hypnotherapist, and so mm-hmm. I've helped people break addictions that way. Mm-hmm. You cannot separate the mind and the body. You can't separate them.
I got a question for you. Someone texted me, messaged me a question. What about skin tags? What do you know about skin tags?
Often they're high blood sugar related.
High blood sugar related, eh? Okay, interesting. Yep. Okay, well there you go. There's your answer. High blood sugar related. So a person with diabetes might even have a few skin tags then.
Quite a few of them, yes.
And how do you get rid of them?
Well, you can get your blood sugars down.
Okay.
They can get reabsorbed, or you can have them cosmetically taken off. If you don't address
the issue,
what's going on underneath, you'll just get more.
Right. Let me ask you, what age is too young for your techniques that you use for working with people?
Well, I don't do a whole lot of pediatrics. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I will work with, you know, patients of mine, I'll give them, you know, I'll consult with them about little things that they can do to help their kids, because this next generation of kids, it seems as though a lot of them are quite ill.
Okay.
And while I don't do a whole lot of interventions and seeing a lot of kids, what I do basically from 1 month old, you can do a cheek swab to see what's going to be going on genetically, right?
Okay.
And so then if they're low in certain things, then the mother can take supplementation and hope that it goes through into the breast milk, for example. Or you can do stool analysis and see how their microbiome is. But usually, like, I feel very comfortable doing, you know, consults on children that can get blood draws without screaming. So however old that is, you know, it works pretty well, because you can do, kids are so adaptable and so resilient for the most part, that if you give their bodies even just a little bit of what they need, they can heal way faster than an adult.
Mm.
Usually.
Okay. Okay.
And the thing about naturopathic medicine is it's so safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's so safe. And there is a time and a place for conventional medicine. I mean, when I was bleeding out in a car, it wasn't the time to eat more salad. You know, that came after.
Right.
If you have a heart attack or a stroke, I mean, you need, often need life-saving elements that only, you know, conventional medicine can provide in that emergency situation.
Right.
However, when you, there's a lot of space between when you first start to see the inklings of disease, whatever, whether it's fatigue or constipation or allergies or, you know, whatever, hormone imbalances, whatever that is, there's a lot of room between then and when you need medication.
Right.
And so you start with the natural things first that are highly effective if you do them, you know, early and you do them right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. So my next question, we've only got about 4 minutes left,
okay,
in the show. So, who doesn't need your help?
It's probably a very, very short list.
Right.
And it would probably be just like other naturopaths, mm-hmm, basically, or people that have, I mean, even if you've got stellar health, you're not on any medications, even that nutritional genome test, it's about, mm-hmm, prevention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 50 to 70% of people that die of heart attacks every year have no warning. They don't know that they're at risk of a heart attack. That's why heart attacks kill, you know, more Americans than anything else.
Well, isn't there a test we can do to test your heart to see if you've got any future heart issues or maybe heart disease? Isn't there a test you can take to see if you got heart disease?
Yeah, we do quite a few laboratory tests to see whether you're building plaque, whether you have plaque that's likely to rupture, the kind of inflammation that's in your blood vessels. I mean, conventional lipid tests are basically useless because they don't look at the real risks with cholesterol.
Okay.
Because we want to see how big your cholesterol, you know, molecule or cholesterol particles are.
So
if they're big
work,
and fluffy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we do blood work. And so we can get a pretty good idea as far as what the risks are and then address them naturally. So, mm-hmm, I think everybody, if you live on the face of the planet, you're exposed to toxicity and stress and inflammation. And so everybody can benefit.
Can you do blood work, remotely? Like they send,
absolutely,
their blood to you? Now, okay.
Yep.
So that's a question.
Yep, we have a concierge blood draw service that we can send just about anywhere in the United States.
Oh, so it's they go somewhere in their city and then that person does the blood work and then they send it to you, or do they send
it
to you? We
can send a phlebotomist right to their house in most parts of the United States.
Wow.
Or their work.
That's a good service.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere. We'll come to you.
Yeah, it's nice. Because we want to offer this to everyone. I mean, naturopaths, you know, we only have a couple of states that we're officially licensed in as physicians and providers. And, mm-hmm, so opening it up to, you know, everybody is a really important thing. It's one of my passions, and it's why I started the website.
That's excellent.
Because everybody can benefit.
Yeah. Now, we know air is good for us, clearly.
Right?
But what about water? You know, can we drink too much water or not enough water? And,
well, 80%, I think Cornell actually did a study last year that showed that 80% of American adults are dehydrated.
Mm-hmm.
And so, while you can drink too much water, some lady drank like 2 gallons of distilled water or something around there in a, mm-hmm, very short period of time, and she ended up dying. Right? Now, so you, but as long as you're, it being, you know, you're not drinking water to win a contest, which is what, yeah, happened there. It was actually a radio contest.
Oh, okay.
And so we recommend you drink somewhere between, so if you weigh 150 pounds,
mm-hmm,
we recommend you drink between 75 ounces, which is half your body weight in ounces, right, to 150 ounces of water.
Right.
Your urine should be fairly clear.
Yeah.
Now, if you have kidney disease, obviously, that's something that you want to consult with a yeah, provider or an expert, right, to make sure that that's okay. But most people need more water, and you need clean water because,
yeah,
bottled water's got, will often, if it's in a plastic container, have chemicals in it from, yeah, the plastic that are, yeah, associated with some cancers and, yeah, hormone problems.
See, we use a company called Water to Go, and it goes through like a 12 filtration system. It's pretty awesome water, and actually, They have bottles of water that are bottled from other companies, and all of the other bottled water companies, after a year, the water is kind of a brownish color. Theirs is still clear.
God. Yeah, I have a gravity-fed filter that I have in my house that's really incredible as far as taking out most of the heinous stuff that's in water. And you wouldn't believe, like, Sacramento City water has uranium in it from the Air Force Base.
Oh, that's
and
terrible.
Your Brita filter is not getting that out.
No,
your refrigerator filter is not getting that out. And so we made sure that, I mean, our cats and dogs, and obviously we drink only that because you don't know what's in your water unless you look. And
well,
it's pretty
I know
crazy.
For me, when I check my urine, I always check my urine. I'm always checking my poop. And when I check my urine and I see it's a little yellowish and more yellow than normal, I'll ask myself, how much water do you drink today?
Right.
Not enough. And I know that I can see the difference. When I drink a lot of water, it's clear as heck. And
can you feel the difference too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my mouth isn't as dry. I have more energy. So I've grown accustomed to drinking more water. But listen, we got 30 seconds left of the show. Thank you for having me on today and interviewing you. And it's just been lovely talking to you. And I've really enjoyed our conversation today. And you can find out more information about the doc here by going to naturopathicmd.com. So you got anything else? It's your stage.
No, thank you, Cameron. I enjoyed this as well, and I'll see you next week.
That sounds lovely to me. So until next week, we're out.
Bye-bye.
Girl's Guide to Living Well. Join Dr. Heather and her special guests every other Friday at 2 p.m. For more information, go to www.naturopathicmd.com or follow her on Instagram at naturopathicmd.